It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security.
Welcome, everyone. This is Colonel Rhett John for the National Security Hour on America Out Loud News Network. And I have a very special guest tonight. And you know what? Want to know what the foundation of national security is? It's our kids. It's our kids, and one of the key elements, it's homeschooling. We've done homeschooling, but I got an expert on this and similar matters. And her name is Sam Sorbo. So Sam, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, I'm a very special guest.
Absolutely, Sam. And Sam wrote a wonderful endorsement of the book, War Against the Deep State. I thank you. But Sam is just, she really, this is a great topic. And it really, hey, we can have the best national security in the world, the best tanks, the best missiles, but it's all for naught if we're not raising our children right. So Sam, I look to you for this expertise.
Yeah. So this is, it's bigger than we imagine. And I just tweeted the other day, or I put it up somewhere on social media. Don't stop obsessing over the indoctrination of your children and start dissembling your own indoctrination. So we've gone to school. All of us went to school, by and large, right? And we were indoctrinated when we were in school. We think we turned out okay. But in fact, I can prove that we didn't. And the way that I prove that we didn't is we think that we were educated, but we are incapable of teaching a fourth grader. I don't know how to homeschool. I don't know how to teach my kids. We were convinced that we were incapable. We were indoctrinated to believe that we were incapable despite being educated. So in fact, I would say we were not educated, right? But that's hard. That's hard for people to hear, because they want to think that they're smart and educated. So I just say you were indoctrinated to believe certain things, not just about yourself, but about school. And in fact, I just did a conference over the weekend, and there was a gal who came to the conference, and then she sent me a note afterwards. And it said, "Thank you. I heard you speak at Moms for America, and you have planted a seed for change. We have been schooling at home for 19 years and still have 8 to go, but I have believed the lie that it has to look a certain way. Thank you for permission to go." So apparently that's my new job, is I give people permission to go. I'm also known as a truth sayer because I say the truth. And what happens is I say truths and people wrestle with them because they're so hard to accept, because the lies have permeated our culture so vividly. For instance, I say parenting isn't hard. And I remember I was speaking at an event, and the gal in the front row like crossed her arms. And afterwards she came up to me and she said, "I got to be honest with you. I didn't hear much after that, because I had to sit with that. Parenting isn't hard. Parenting isn't hard." Because I say parenting's not hard. Teaching's not hard. Learning's not hard. Let's stop telling ourselves lies. Let's stop, because the reason that we tell ourselves lies is because we've been indoctrinated by the schools to tell ourselves those lies. Why? So that they could get our children away from us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to hear a nasty story like this? By the way, the woman agreed with me after all. She's like, "But I think you're right. Parenting isn't hard. I mean, we could make it hard, but we don't have to do that." And it's true. It's not hard. It might be challenging.
I think you just said the key term: get our children away from us.
Absolutely. That's the whole game plan. That's it. It's the destruction of the family, right? Look, if you read the book, The Communist 45. But nobody believes it, because they learned in school that communism was like, it's worse than socialism, but socialism is grandpa with candy. So communism is a little bit harsher. It's like mean grandpa, but he still has candy. Like, we don't understand why communism is really bad, because we had 13 years of indoctrination that left out all the reasons communism is bad. And if you leave it all out and still think that you're educated, then you think it's not important. So of course, we don't understand the threat. Of course we don't. And what's the best way to win a war? Convince people that there's no threat. And they've done that. So here we sit, right? Except that you and I see the threat. We see what's going on. Here's another great one. After World War II, Churchill begged Roosevelt, please, let's go take out the commies next. Mm-hmm. We got the Nazis. Now let's go get the commies. But Roosevelt had a commie spy sitting right next to him in the White House. And so he was like, yeah, I don't want to go after the commies. They were our friends during the war. Some friends. Okay. They helped us beat the Nazis because they had to. So what happened? We had the Nuremberg trials. Who sat on the trial? Who sat in the jury? The commies. And that's how we got this notion that national socialism, that it's the national part of socialism that's evil. Because the commies were in charge. If you're not getting the reference, or your audience isn't getting it, national socialism is the long form of Nazi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
National socialist, right? So it's national socialism. And so they convinced us it's the nationalism that's bad about the Nazi. It's not the socialism, again, grandpa with candy. And why did we buy that? Because the commies sat in judgment over those nasty national socialists, those Nazis, those nasty Nazis who apparently were right wing, which of course is absurd. They were all left wing, very much so. But now they've branded fascism as right wing, and they've branded Nazism as fascism, which it wasn't. It was socialism. And we've all sort of bought this lie that we've been sold in our schools that purport to educate us, but in fact fabricate truth, lie to us, and then hide and obfuscate the most important things, let's say. The most important things, right? Because all truth is important. But and so here we sit, and we think we're incapable of educating our children. And what I speak on, and I guess I've refined my language to the degree that it really reaches people, or maybe the Holy Spirit is on my side and helping me out or whatever. But I find that I say the thing that people need to hear about why they should take their children out of school. And there's a myriad of things, right, that I can say to that effect. And eventually one of them will be just the right thing. So I had a gal walk up to me at the conference this past weekend, and she says, you know, Sam Sorbo, you said the thing that I needed to hear. And I took my kids out the very next day. I've been homeschooling them for a year, and it is fantastic. But I got to tell you, my girlfriend is very upset with you because she was working on me for 4 years and I wouldn't do it and I wouldn't do it. And she said, oh, and Sam Sorbo says one thing to you. And so I said the thing that made sense to her. I think I said something like, yeah, maybe your kids aren't worth it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might've said that. And that caught her up, and she's like, my kids are worth it. Here's the thing. They want your children. Not only do they want your children, they want to have sex with your children.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't give you the chutzpah, the balls, the coyones, whatever you want to call it, to just take them out of that system. And I kid you not, if you do nothing, they will be better off. It's that easy. In fact, my son went through second grade in public school, a nice little public school. We moved there for the schools. They were so great. And I was very disappointed in the caliber of whatever. I didn't like it.
What state was that in, if I'm in
California?
Okay.
Outside of LA. I didn't like the ads coming home with. I didn't like the way that the classroom was run. And I was like the guilty mom. So I was spending a lot of time in the school helping out, grading papers, walking the kids to the library, teaching art, like doing everything. And I was like, I'm not thrilled with this. They sent home homework. The homework was stupid. And I started thinking, you know, I'm homeschooling. I'm just doing it at the end of the day when everybody's tired and cranky and hungry. And I said to my husband, Kevin, I said, you know, Kevin, I think I could fail at homeschooling and he'd still be better off. And Kevin, bless his heart, he said, well, then give it a try. What's the worst that can happen? And the worst that can happen is, okay, he goes back in third grade or fourth grade. You know what I mean? He skips a grade or whatever, or he gets held back a grade or whatever. Like, what's the worst that can happen? You're not going to break or mess up your child in 6 weeks. Like, it's just, and so we started. And then I, a year and a half in, I was like, I can't do this. I'm doing it wrong. It's terrible. I'm a failure. I'm a complete loser. And so I put them in a little Christian school, a tiny little private Christian school. And I thought, okay, this will answer my question. Oh, and it was a hybrid. I like to point that out to parents because they think, oh, the hybrid, that's the solution. And I'll tell you, it might be the solution for some people, but it is not the solution for everybody. And so they went 2 days a week and then they had 3 days a week at home, or they went 3 days and had 2 days a week. And that was just a hot mess. The homework situation and the stuff that they sent home. And I wasn't terribly satisfied, but I thought, okay. So I towed the line, I did the whole thing. And then after 6 weeks, I asked for a meeting with the teacher because I wanted to make sure that I was doing my part. But every so often, like, they'd send home the homework and I wouldn't be able to download it. And she would say, oh, then don't worry about it. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. If you're sending it for me to do, don't tell me don't worry about it if I can't download it. Like, that's, then don't send it. How about that? How about you just don't send it if it doesn't matter? You know what I mean? Like, things like that. Inconsistencies that did not make logical sense. And I'm a very logical person. And so I went in to have a meeting with her, and she sat there for 5 minutes telling me how well-behaved my little boy was. Well, I know my little boy, he is well-behaved. That's not what I want to hear. I want to hear that he's talking out of turn, that he's raising his hand all the time because he's so interested in what's happening, that he wants to learn, learn, learn. He's constantly asking questions. And the more I thought about that, the more I thought, oh my goodness, her focus is classroom management.
Hmm.
That's not my focus. My focus is learning. I want my son to learn. And I frankly, I don't want him to learn to sit down and shut up. That's not what I want him. I want him to learn to be a man. I want him to learn to stand up for what's right. I want him to be a righteous man. I want him to learn how to love and forgive and ask for forgiveness. I want him to learn the important things in life. I don't really care about math anymore. I started thinking all these things. I'm like, what are we really about here? Why are we so adherent to the three R's, which is a lie, right? The three R's. What are the three R's? Reading, writing, which is a W, and arithmetic, which is an A. So even the thing itself is a lie. And by the way, just so you know, they got us addicted to the three R's. We were indoctrinated to believe as long as you get the three R's, you're good to go. Career, yeah. Corner office, yeah, got good college, like the whole thing. Those three R's, we hung all of our stuff on those three R's. And then they pulled the rug out from under us and they started teaching the other stuff, the Common Core, the DEI, the critical race theory, CRT, the gender theory, right? Now they're teaching all doctrine. And we're saying, stop indoctrinating. Well, fair enough. Stop indoctrinating our children with lies, but education is indoctrination. It is the indwelling of the doctrine, your doctrine, into your child so that your child knows truth. That's what education is. It's inspiring your child to seek truth. It's not data entry like they made us believe. Oh, it's the academics. It's the three R's. Learn your times tables, all of that stuff. That's data entry. That's not education. Education is software. And the software ought to be the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. The software ought to be your morals and your principles and your values and your traditions, your family. Mm-hmm. That's the software that you want your child to have. And I don't know if you saw, but I just did my very first show on Patriot TV. And I'm very excited. And because my whole mission is to free children from the system, but I have to free the parents first. Before I can free the children, I got to free the parents. I hold my son up as my billboard. So he came on the show with me. And this is a man who is pursuing truth. He's 22 years old and he is in love with the truth. And don't you try to tell him a lie, because he will see right through it, because he has learned discernment, which is something that we didn't learn in school, that they no longer teach. Good heavens, they won't teach you to discern that pooping in a litter box in the hallway has anything wrong with it, when everybody can see very clearly that that's just horrible. Like, why would anybody want that? Even if it's your personal preference, there's something wrong with you in that personal preference, and get it in your face. And yet, no, not in our schools. I don't know if you saw, recently in Oklahoma, they had a fundraiser, and they convinced, apparently they told children that they could volunteer and to raise money licking other children's toes. Now, I saw the video. It looked like young children and adults, but they are claiming that it wasn't adults, that no administrators or teachers were involved, which is bull crap, because it happened in the school gym. So clearly there were administrators and teachers involved, or they wouldn't have had access to the gym. And I'm sorry, that's perversion. And they are teaching and cheering children on in their weird perversions.
Well, one thing you haven't said yet, but I'm sure you're going to say, is it, I always like to say it, all started, well, we just have a couple of minutes left, but it all started with safe spaces. It was all about safe spaces. And that was the shim they used to start separating us, 10, 15 years ago. But that video from Oklahoma, it was just absolutely, what in the name? Who in the world, what sane adult would not raise a question about this?
No, understand, they are perverted themselves. Mm-hmm. They want to have sex with your children. This is the closest that they can come so far, mm-hmm. as far as we know. But we don't really know, do we? I mean, how many people have been arrested off of the Jeffrey Epstein flight log? Oh, that's right, zero. We don't really know. We don't. But here's the thing. If you want to save your children, it's so much easier than you think it is. You've been indoctrinated. This is for your audience, obviously. You've been indoctrinated to think that you can't. And I'm here to tell you, you can. God gave you your children with a purpose in mind. He did not make a mistake. He has faith in you. You ought to have faith in yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sam, you're just absolutely fantastic. And I really appreciate this. Our three kids have all either been totally homeschooled in a Christian school that I'm looking out the window at, just down the block here. Our youngest is blind. She goes to the Virginia School for the Blind. But my wife, she's a tiger mom, and she's learned to braille, and she just every morning from about 5 a.m. to 7, it sounds like Churchill's war room there with her banging away on the brailing machine, making sure everything's brailed.
Wow.
If it ain't moving, it's going to get brailed. And so.
Well, after the break, I have a very shocking story to tell you, okay, about what happened in a school. So stay tuned, everybody.
Oh, wow. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Sam. And again, this is my expertise is 40 years of national security in uniform as a civilian, yep. But it's all for naught if we lose our children.
This is
so important. And the country was stolen behind my back. Country was stolen, yes, behind all of our back. I had the terrorists pinned down. I had the Soviets pinned down, the Chinese pinned down, and it was stolen behind our back. And they do want our children. That's what they're after. So everyone, this is Colonel Rhett John with my very special guest, Sam Sorbo. Don't mess with her, man. You'll get scuffed up real bad. So we'll be right back on, this is the National Security Hour for America Out Loud News Network.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, But left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
We're back. This is Colonel Rhett John, the National Security Hour for America Out Loud News Network, with my friend, my colleague Sam Sorbo, and she is a tiger mom on steroids. But this is so important. This is so important. We could have the best national security in the world, but it's our children we have to protect, because if we don't have a next generation, it's over.
Oh, here's the thing. We're raising an entire generation to think that we don't need national security.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll just be gone. We're raising an entire generation of children who will vote against the Second Amendment because guns are bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they are learning that in school.
Yeah. And Army recruiting, they're almost 30% off their recruiting and retention. Well, why is that? Yeah. Well, it's because if you fall into one or more of these categories, you're white, you're male, you're heterosexual, you believe in God, you believe there is such a thing as a biological man or woman, you believe borders are a good thing. So 90% of America fits into one or more of those categories.
Yeah.
And then they can't figure out why nobody wants to join the military anymore.
What did my son say? He said, I'm getting concerned because the new recruiting ad featured white guys.
Oh,
like they changed the recruiting ad to feature, regular looking people, like actual military types, instead of transgenders and gays and whatever. And so he saw that and he said, he's just thinking, okay, they're changing their policy now because they've recognized that they're not recruiting that many. They need more recruits for sustainability. They gotta be. So anyway, if you're teaching children in school that guns are bad, they will grow up thinking that guns are bad. If you learned in school that the earth is 800 billion years old, you believe that the earth is 800 billion years old. There's no proof. You've never seen any proof. There's no way to prove that, but you don't even think about that because you just grew up with it. Mm-hmm. And so these children are growing up thinking there's no reason to have national security. Why don't we just invite in all the illegal people and then they won't be illegal? Change the law, make them legal, and then everything's fine. They're not being taught economics. They're not even taught how to, you know, there's a great meme out there. The person goes in to see the tax guy and says, here's my tax form. And he checks it. He says, it's wrong. And he hands it back. And she says, well, what's wrong with it? And he says, you figure it out. She's like, can't you just tell me what's wrong with it? And he's like, no, it's your taxes. You have to do them. We don't do them for you. And it's sort of like, well, why not? Why don't you know how much money I made. Why don't you just tell me how much I owe? Right. But it's this weird cat and mouse game or something. And, you know, it seems very logical, but heaven forbid you should apply logic to schooling, right? Which is absurd. You should be able to apply logic to schooling, but we can't because there's no logic there. And the reason there appears to be no logic is because their purpose is different than our purpose. They say their purpose is our purpose. You want college prep and career readiness, right? By the way, do you know why you want college prep and career readiness? Because you were indoctrinated to think that that's what school is about. But that's not what that's what education is about. You were also indoctrinated to think that it's what school is about. It's also not what school is about. School is about making you indebted to the system and enslaving you to it, right? And we can see that now because children are going to college spending lots of money that they don't have, going into debt, and then they can't get a job, even though they were promised, if you go to college, you'll get a job, because that's how it works. And I should know, I have two young men who refuse to go to college. But they both want to be actors, so there's no dealing with them. My son came to me when he was like 15. He said, "Mom, I figured out what college I want to go to." And I said, "Where? Or what do you want to study?" I'm like, "That's awesome. What do you want to study?" Because that's my point is, what do you want to learn? Why do you spend a lot of money unless you know what you... And so many kids just go to college because it's the next thing to do. But it's expensive to just go for no reason. It's expensive. And so he goes, "Well, I want to be an actor." And I said, I'm sorry, I started laughing. And I said, "Oh, sweetheart, you don't need a college degree to be an actor." And he thought about it. I don't have a college. I'm a college dropout. I'm a high school dropout. My husband's a college dropout, very successful actor. You know, college is overrated by a large amount. Why? Because they control the system. They are the ones that give the schools their teachers. So they've trained the teachers to believe college is the way. And the teachers genuinely believe every student should go to college, which we know on its face that has to be a lie. There have to be some kids who shouldn't go to college, but not my kid, right? My kid has to go to college because I want him to earn a lot of money. No, this is the biggest divorce that we have to make in our heads. This is the biggest de-indoctrination, the biggest reprogramming that we need, is this programming that money is the answer.
Yeah, no, amen. I totally agree with that. Good for you. And I also teach, and I'm an adjunct in a graduate program in a major university. And I totally agree with what you just said.
Well, I'm sorry if I insulted you.
No, I totally agree with it. I totally agree with it. College used to be rare because it was special and it was unique and it was different. Now it's exactly what you said, this indoctrination that you have to go. And it's like, well, if everybody's going, it's not special anymore.
Well, that's true. I was talking with a guy who ran for office. He was very proud of himself. He won a seat in the government. And he was saying to me, I so don't believe in college. I don't even look at where the job applicant went to college. I'm just happy. I don't even look at what degree he got. I'm just happy enough that he went through the system and earned the degree. He figured it out enough to get the degree, and I hire him. And I'm like, that's so weird. I mean, that's kind of dumb. I didn't actually say dumb to him, but I was thinking that's weird, because it would seem to me I would hire the kid who is too smart to go to college, to play their stupid game and to go into tremendous debt, so that he needed to find whatever job he could find just to pay off his debt. You'd rather raise a child to love to learn so that they can teach themselves anything, because heaven knows we're preparing children for jobs that came 50 years ago and will never be back. You know what I mean? Like, we don't even know what we're educating for anymore.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd rather have a kid who learned how to think outside the box and, you know, pull himself up by his bootstraps, learn whatever he wanted on the, you know, was interested in pursuing truth and information and knowledge for its own sake. And that's a kid who can figure things out. And goodness knows, we're going to need some problem solvers. We don't want regurgitators. And that's what they churn out in schools, is people who can regurgitate the facts that they've been taught, or people who don't fit the mold and become outcasts and weirdos, right? It's one or the other.
It's like you, I loved your description, previous segment, socialism, old man with candy, communism, just a little worse, but it's like in a communist system. And I've been in a number of communist systems here. Everybody goes to college, comes out a doctor or a doctor or a engineer. The problem is, they're not a very good doctor and not a very good engineer. And
the most successful people I know never went to college. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Like, one of them's a plumber, makes a phenomenal living. The guy has so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it. And another one has car dealerships. Also, flies private everywhere because he's just living the life. Never went to college. Like, so you have to look at really the statistics from your personal and divorce yourself from the indoctrination that you went through when you were in school in order to save your kids. But I'll tell you this quick story because this blew me away. I was talking again this past weekend at this, it was a Moms for America conference. And there was a couple there and they showed me pictures of their very, very cute young kids. So third grade and younger. And they travel a lot. They are people of means and they travel a lot. And so they would take their kids out of school and the school went to them and said, listen, this truancy is going to have to stop. We might have to call CPS on you.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
They literally threatened to call Child Protective Services, which is like a nightmare. Like that's child trafficking right there.
Oh, yeah. And then so, who I don't want to trip you up here, but then who works at CPS? You some of these people, their background, watch out. But go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. So they're threatening the parents with the lives of their children. Understand, like, let's not mince words. Let's put this in the plainest text that we can. And then the parents realized that the school needed a bus and they were their automobile people or whatever. So they've got connections. So they said to them, if we find you a bus, can we make this whole CPS silliness go away? You know, and guess what the school answered? How about two buses? It's a rope-a-dope.
What you mean they? So walk me through. I missed the they wanted two.
So they
buses?
They wanted two buses.
Okay.
And they had the parents over a barrel because they control the kids. They call CPS. Parents lose the kids, and so if you give us two buses, then we won't call CPS. I'm not sure how it ended up, but I will tell you this: I believe they are now pulling their children out of school because I said to the man, I said, that was a setup. You understand that, right? They totally set you up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it some more and I urge people, don't stop thinking. Like you get to that and you go, oh, wow. That was a nasty thing. They were nasty. No, it's worse than that. If you think about it some more, you go, oh, wait, they hate that wealthy couple. They hate them enough. Mm-hmm. To threaten the lives of their children. That's how much they hate them. They hate them probably enough to kill them, but that's illegal. So they'll take the kids. I mean, they hate them. Okay. Now, I said that to the wife. I said, you understand they hate you. I want you to think about these two things. They hate you. And I want you to contemplate what they're saying about you to your children when you're not around. Just give that some thought.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you've got to take it three more steps down the road because we're playing from like two steps back. We're playing catch up every time. We're just answering. How did that school in Oklahoma put on an event with children sucking other people's toes? And I tell you, the video looks like young children. It doesn't look like older children. They tell us it was older children. I think they're lying. It's hard to tell, but even if it's older children, how did they organize a fundraiser around that? And there were probably other things that we aren't privy to yet. There's going to be a quote investigation, but I'm just saying, like, why are we always like just playing catch up? Like nobody saw this coming. Literally none of the teachers saw it coming. None of the parents saw it coming. They didn't know that their children volunteered to suck the toes and lick the toes of other people.
Yeah, that's just
not to mention the hygiene. It's disgusting.
That is just so wrong in so many ways. It's just like you never trust the counterintelligence officer, never trust these people who are obsessed with being around children. And what always drives me, I think, is always an indicator. Well, how many children do you have? Well, I don't have any children. Well, then why are you so attracted? Why are you so obsessed with being around children? Why are you so obsessed with being a school teacher?
So this is a problem. This is a problem. You know, there's the whole thing about in the Catholic Church and the pedophilia. But they kind of set themselves up because they said, we will have you here. You will not have any sex, but young boys will serve in the church. Well, what kind of person are you going to attract? So, in fact, I talked to a young woman who was at who was going to a small Christian college, and I talked to college people about this because we just don't know. We just don't imagine, right? Mm-hmm. She was going to this small Christian school, and there was a statement of faith and everything. But she really liked this one professor, and she eventually figured out the professor was atheist. So she said to the professor, you're atheist, right? And the professor said, oh, yes, absolutely. And she said, well, why are you teaching here? And the professor said, oh, this is my mission field. So you brought up a good point. What's your guarantee that the people working in a school don't want to have sex with your children? Where's the proof? I would like to have final proof that the people teaching in the school, in fact, there's a very famous, well, I suppose it's not terribly well known. There's a famous story that was published about an LA school. It's a very famous school. These people realized that one of the dads was canoodling with the little children when they had sleepovers, young children. And they were like, you know, that's inappropriate for him to canoodle in bed with the young children that are not his on their sleepovers. And everybody was furious until he said, but the people who are accusing me, that they're right wing, they're conservative.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then everybody turned against the conservatives and supported the canoodler. Yeah. And, you know, canoodle is a euphemism, forgive me, but it is. I'm not going to go into explicit detail.
Oh, and it is just so wrong. And all these people who, it's their mission. And you know, how can, it's a failure of the school. Why in the world would they allow an atheist to teach at the school? That is just, oh, geez. Sam, well.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think atheists lie? Do you think an atheist can lie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well,
there you go.
Well, and then also, could have been nobody's ever even asked him before. Nobody ever even thought to ask him. Good on that girl to ask the guy. But so we're coming up to the end of the second segment. This is better than Joe Rogan. This is Joe Rogan in an hour.
On steroids.
And no pot smoking. We don't smoke pot here. So
no.
We don't. No. That's bad. But Sam, thank you so much. And everyone, this is Colonel Rhett John with my special friend and guest, Sam Sorbo, and we'll be right back.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
And we're back.
This is Colonel Rhett John, National Security Hour for America Out Loud News Network, with my special guest and friend Sam Sorbo, and we're just having a great time here talking. It's your children. It's your children, everybody. You should be securing them and securing their future and not trusting them with people. You don't even know who they are. You don't know what their beliefs are. And say, are you questioning the public school system? Well, yeah, I am.
Yeah, say that again. Say that again. You don't know who is your school's, is your child's teacher. You don't know them. You don't know who hired them. You don't know the hiring process. You don't know who's benefiting from their exams, their interactions with the governing authority. You ask your child's teacher if they're members of the union. The union is controlled by the CCP. Oh, I should mention, yes, our unions, our teachers' unions are a big, big problem. Mm-hmm. But the schools are doing what they were designed to do. There's no way to fix something if it's doing what it was designed to do. I suppose you could break it, but then what do you have? You just have a broken school system that may be still doing what it was designed to do. Who knows? The Communist Party infiltrated the unions, the teachers' unions particularly, and they have implemented many of the Communist 45 that were obviously entered into the congressional record, one of which was put porn in the schools, break down the nuclear family, get control of the unions, get control of the teachers. The list goes on. They've accomplished a lot of the goals, if not all of the goals, all of the 45 goals. In fact, I have a film coming out that is premiering in a couple days in Los Angeles called Hollywood Takeover. And it's about the Communist Party in Hollywood and how they, you know, with the Mission Impossible, no, sorry, it was the Maverick. It was the Maverick movie. China said, no, we don't want those insignia showing, you know, that you can't do. So they're absolutely controlling the messaging in our culture. And that's why people have to be more reticent in their choice of entertainment, in their choice of music, particularly, because music has this quality to enter our brains. And then we're humming it and we're singing it. And the words are being repeated to us the more we hum and sing it. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's what rap music is. It's designed to destroy the culture. Mm-hmm. You know, art, the art has been now designed, the modern art, come on. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. What's that about? You know, listen, if you have to explain to me why it's beautiful, it ain't pretty. Mm-hmm. And if it ain't pretty, it doesn't have value. Mm-hmm. But they're going to try to tell you, no, it's beautiful because it's just red or it's just whatever, you know, it's a line and or it's paint splatters or something. And that's what makes it beautiful. And I'm like, yeah, if you have to explain it, it doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Art should be awesome. It should grab your attention and you should just be in awe of it. That's what art is. That's what good art is. Mm-hmm. And so all of this is designed to break down the human spirit. The communist buildings, the architecture is designed to make you feel puny, that you don't have a soul because you don't have any value, because this very large building is looming over you. And that's the whole agenda, is to break down the human so that they don't feel like they have any value. And then you can control them. They'll do whatever.
Well, so, Sam, how did you, I mean, you are so perceptive. How did you, and especially coming out of working in Hollywood, how did you realize, what was your epiphany that made you realize this was all wrong, not the way it should be?
You know what? It's a very good question. And by the way, you know, I've written books about this a little bit. Words for Warriors. I got tired of people saying that fascism is right wing, and so I proved that it was left wing in this book. But I also went back to our language. They're trying to steal our language. If they can make us lie, if they can make us say that man is a woman, then they win. Because then, where's your integrity? Where is truth? What is truth? Right? Isn't that what Pontius Pilate said? What is truth? Mm-hmm. And that's a very good question for the devil to ask. Right? If you don't have a good answer, you're just lost. So what I'll tell you, my big epiphany came after I was in college. I needed to take a year off because I was giving myself an ulcer because I was all about college prep, career readiness, you know, get the grade. And I was biomedical engineering, which is a very, you know, heavy discipline. And so I took a year off and I modeled and I earned a crud load of money. I earned so much money. I didn't know what to do with it. I had stuck it in a bank and I was afraid of it because it was, I earned a lot of money. Went back to school, made the best grades I'd ever made because the pressure was off because I already made bank. And I was like, wait, so I can do the studies, go into debt, or I can literally do everything else that I want to do and earn a lot of money. Huh, maybe I'll quit college and go earn a lot of money and travel the world and learn languages and have fun. And so I did. And about a year or two into that, earning a lot of money, traveling, having fun, I just went, wow. So I did it. So I grabbed the brass ring. I did exactly what they told me to do. I earned a lot of money and life's over. Should I just off myself now? Like, what's the purpose of life? If I've achieved the purpose that they set for me, which was to earn money, get a career and earn money, be a self-made woman, right? Then what? And so I went on a search for something and I found order in the universe, which I decided it should be called God because I didn't know what else to call it. I could call it nothing, but then it is God. So why call it something else? And then that gave me purpose. And I realized I wanted a family. I wanted a husband. I wanted to have children because relationships are what give your life meaning. Nothing else. Nothing. The money does not give your life meaning. It's the relationships that you have that give your life meaning. No gravestone ever said, I wish I spent more time at the office. And so I repurposed my life. And in fact, I was looking for a husband and I finally said to God, okay, I get it. There's going to be a compromise because I can't find the perfect guy. So what's the compromise? If you just show me the compromise, God, I will make the compromise and then I'll have the family. But I didn't know, is he going to be short? Is he going to be dumb? Is he going to be like, what's the comp? If you just show me what the compromise is. And then I met Kevin, and Kevin was this specimen of a man. He was absolutely breathtakingly gorgeous and smart, turned out to be conservative of all things. Are you kidding me? Liked country music, was a Christian. Like, check, 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 ding, 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 winner, winner, chicken dinner. And I was like, holy smokes. So there's no compromise. Okay. I'm in anyway, and we're engaged. He fell in love with me, couldn't resist me. Thank you very much. And we were engaged and we were sort of going back and forth. I was traveling a lot because he lived in New Zealand and I was in LA and I was pursuing my career because I was career driven because that's the way I was raised. And then he suffered three strokes and he ended up in intensive care. And of course, right then I booked one of the best jobs you could ever hope for. For me, anyway, it was a national network television commercial, 3-day first class all the way, a 3-day shoot in New York City, a lot of money. And then once it aired, it would be ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. And of course, it was for my absolutely favorite thing, ice cream. So it was like the holy grail for me. God put it right there and said, you said you were going to make a compromise. Do you mean it? So I walked into the intensive care room and I said to Kevin, I got the job. He knew what I was talking about. I said, do you want me not to go? And he was lying prostrate on the bed. He was not allowed to move. He was on blood thinners. The guy who worked out 2 hours every day was not allowed to move for a week. And he said, yes, I want you not to go. I was his lifeline. He literally, like, the poor guy. And I was sitting there and I remember I looked up, it was the ceiling, but I was looking up to heaven and I was like, oh, that's the compromise? Done. Like, easy. I'll walk away from my career, but I can have this. And yes, he was sick, but I knew he was going to get better. I knew it. I had so much faith. I never doubted that. He doubted it, but I had enough faith for both of us. And he made it through. And we have three phenomenal children. And I'll tell you something. I made that choice again because we moved back to LA with the three kids. And then I was auditioning again. I reconnected with my agent who had been fairly pissed off for me turning down that job. She's like, you realize you're walking away from your career. And I'm like, yes, because he needs me full time now. So I'm walking away from my career. But I reconnected, we made up and she started sending me out. And like my third audition, I came back home and my little toddler who had no words except one came up to me with her little finger pointing. No, 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 no. And I'm like, what is this? And I picked her up and I put her on my hip and she put her pudgy little hand out and she waved at the nanny and she said, bye bye.
Oh.
And I said, oh, so I guess I'm homeschooling now because I'm not going out for auditions anymore. And then years later, God gave me my career right back, just dumped it in my lap.
Yeah,
I wrote a movie called Let There Be Light. And 2 weeks after making the deal to write the movie, based on my idea with another writer, Sean Hannity called my husband and funded it. Out of the blue. When I say out of the blue, I mean, we'd never gotten a call like that. And Sean was like, do you have a movie? I want to do a faith-based movie with you. And we flew to New York. We pitched him. You want to know another miracle? We pitched him for half an hour. He didn't interrupt. And then he wrote a check.
Wow.
And made the movie. It was very successful in theaters. I highly recommend it to people. They can go to sorbostudios.com. It is my heart and soul, that movie. Because it's based on me raising Christian children in a largely secular world that challenges their faith every day, all day long. And I thought, you know, atheism is a faith. Why don't atheists have their faith challenged like my kids get their faith challenged? So I thought, oh, that's a movie I would see. Wait a minute. That's a movie I want to write. And I wrote it and put it in theaters, and it did remarkably well. It's helped a lot of people. It's and I put the kids in it too, so it's a movie made by a families for family.
Yeah, no, we watched that. It was beautiful. That's beautiful, Sam. That's wow. And with atheists, I was in Iraq with an Australian atheist for a while. Very few people are atheists. Most are agnostic. They just don't know.
Right.
Very few are atheists. This guy was an atheist, but I actually had some good witnessing opportunities with him. But atheism, it's the religion of no religion. Sounds pretty empty. So,
Have you heard that guy who's, do we have a couple minutes?
We got about 4 minutes. Go ahead.
So the comedian, and he says, okay, so if you're an atheist, then you believe that nothing, right? And so, you know, some people say God created everything. You say nothing created everything. Okay. And then when you die, what happens? Nothing. Okay. So you're saying you're merged back with your creator. Is that what you're saying? I mean, that's some pretty magical nothing that you've got that creates everything and then creates you. And then when you die, you go back and merge with that creator. Like that's, you know, I mean, it's absurd. Atheism is an absurd religion, especially because I don't know any atheist that lives as if there's no God.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that? They are convinced that the sun's going to rise again.
Mm-hmm.
They call it science.
Yeah.
Who created science? Yeah. God.
Yeah. God knows every point of star in the point of light in the sky, and knows every hair on our head. And amen, absolutely. Well, Sam, we're kind of at the end here, but you were just, I just love talking to you. You are absolutely incredible.
Let me say this: I've developed a homeschool starter gift set.
So if
you're thinking about starting homeschool, or you have a friend who's thinking about starting homeschool, this gift set will get you started into thinking about really what the purpose of education is and how to accomplish that for your children. It'll set you on the path and it'll mark your way for you. So you'll have a very clear idea. So you won't feel like, I don't know what I'm doing. You'll know what you're doing. And that's really the empowerment that I try to offer parents.
Yeah. How do they get to that? How do they get to you? How do they get to that?
sorbostudios.com, and you just click on me, and you'll see everything there. And then obviously Kevin's up there too, and my son, and it's just a lot of family. We believe in family. I wrote a whole book about it, True Faith. Well, I wrote half a book. Kevin wrote half, but but I don't like to give him credit.
Those team writing projects. Oh, there you go. No good. That's great. That's great. So Sorbo Studios, and then also your the name of your show on Patriot Television is
the Sam Sorbo Show.
Yeah. So that's I'm on what? So you're on at seven
Eastern
time. I do a 30-minute segment, 3:30 in the Situation Room. But yeah, Sam, that's awesome. And then and I we only got a minute left. I'm just curious, what curriculum do you use in homeschooling, or do you say? Yeah. Or you...
So the curriculum that I recommend is a curriculum that I wrote for parents.
Oh, okay, excellent.
Because you have to unindoctrinate yourself, and then you'll understand that the curriculum is not what education is. In other words, you can't go and find the correct data to enter into your child. In fact, actually, the best curriculum for home education is the Bible, what our founders grew up on. So why would I disdain it? So I created the Playbook for Home Learning, which is a 15 video series, and I ship it right to your house. And there's a workbook that goes with it, because it's important for you to sort of put onto paper your thoughts as you go through the process of recalibrating your understanding of education in order to better serve your children, because your children are not you, and they won't learn the way that you learn, and they won't learn what you learn, because it's not about that. It's about teaching them how to learn, not teaching them what to know.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome, Sam. And it was great getting to meet you finally face to face, you and your husband at Liberty University, Dave Bratt's CEO forum, and look forward to that next year also. But Sam, you are just absolutely incredible. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And again, it's, you know, hey, I'm 40 years in various things defending America, but It's all for naught if we don't secure our children. The number one thing to secure, even more than our border, it's our children. Sam, thank you. You're a great American, a great, great mom, a great witness for Christ. Thank you so much, Sam.
Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you too. Take care, Sam.